embezzlement of your company or something like that. And you go to one of those nice resort prisons.
Yeah.
You know,
there's got to be just like a terrible place where you're too well known to be in jail. You know, like I feel like you got to be nobody or famous enough that you get in a special place.
Yeah.
Like Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, to be like just famous enough to where you still have to go to regular prison would be terrible. Because then we'd be like, oh my God, you're that like dude from YouTube or whatever. And it's like, fine. I used to love watching you eat hot dogs, man. Like, you're trying to eat this one. Like,
oh my God. Is your sister still in prison?
No, she's been out for like 5 or 6 years now.
I'm eating brunch with my people though. The homie Dyke just cooked up a feast and we bout to eat it, bro. Fucked around and has to mix the lobster with the poutine. Daddy is rolling blue dream. Them boys got down a routine. It's Naptown culture. Cooking 7 courses. Had to pass a torch and now I'm grabbing 2nd portion. So sit back, relax, grab a drink and a smoke. It's all the brunch on the way and get prepared for the jokes. Whoa.
Hi, and welcome to the Harder Brunch Podcast. I'm your host, Dyke Michaels, and with me, as always, my co-host, Thaddeus Shane McKee.
Slappy pappy, wang, wang.
On the ones and twos, the wheels of steel, the sauce boss of Indianapolis, and the last broke dragon. Give it up for Zach Roan, everybody.
Hey there.
And a very special returning champion with us in studio. It's been a while. Comedian and podcaster, host of the Beauty and the Breakdown podcast, Sarah Pop-Tarts Huntington. Welcome.
Thank you.
You guys are middle name.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was hyphenated, if it was Sarah Huntington Pop-Tarts.
I'm still figuring it out, too. Because I still go by Sarah Huntington.
You're too famous to not have it figured out by now.
I just do whatever anybody else calls me. Okay. I'm just a very like, okay, if you know me as Sarah Pop-Tarts, I know you don't know me very well, but like I'm still cool with you. Mm. If you know me as Sarah Huntington, I know you know me as like a friend.
See, I went the other way. I knew you as Sarah Huntington, but I made the conscious effort to start calling you Sarah Pop-Tarts.
Sometimes people ironically will be like, oh, what's up, Sarah Pop-Tarts? What's up, Sarah Pop-Tarts? Like,
they're jealous. Haters.
Yes, it's a hater thing.
Shout out all your haters right now.
Name them. Speak their names.
Say their names.
No, when I was still serving, they'd be like, oh, Sarah Pop-Tarts is here.
Well, I remember, so when we first had you on the podcast, I feel like you would just be like kind of quietly doing TikTok. Like you weren't even like talking about it but you were just slowly kind of amassing people. And I know it was like you and a few other people were kind of doing it at the same time. And then all of a sudden, because it was like, I tried TikTok a little bit and just didn't, I get like 2 likes on something. And I was like, this sucks. And I just quit. And then, like, you and a bunch of people all of a sudden, like, what? They have thousands of views on this TikTok apparatus.
Yeah, I think when I first started doing it, I didn't really know what I wanted to do on there either. And I was like, do I do funny stuff? Do I do, like, I don't know what I was trying to do on there. Sometimes I was trying to do, like, fashion, makeup stuff on there as well, because I was also in, like, cosmetology school when my TikTok started, like, blowing up. But then the one TikTok that like first time went super viral for me was me just talking in my car about how I got a dick tattooed on my leg. And that got like 19 million views. So then I just started talking in my car like that like, and I'm not kidding. TikTok thinks that because the algorithm will start picking you up once they know kind of your thing that you do on there. So you'll see like,
she's a car talker.
Yeah. If I try and go away from the car talks, like, I'll still get views just because I have enough followers now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like even like my stand-up clips, like I posted it. It got like 89,000 views. Some other guy took it off of my TikTok page, screen recorded it, put it on his, and it has like 7.5 million views on his page.
Oh,
and people are like picking it up and putting it on other platforms with him tagged. And I'm like, yeah,
that's stealing, correct?
I think that's what is most would refer to it as. Yeah.
Is it watermarked though? Does it say who you are?
No, it's not watermarked. But I did message him on TikTok, and I was like, "Hey, can you tag me in this?"
Right.
Like, so he tagged me in it, and then whenever I see it on another platform, like somebody will tag me normally and be like, "Hey, you're on," or message me and say, "Hey, just wanted you to know that you're on this." Mm-hmm. And then I'll message that platform and be like, Will you tag me?
You have to tag. Like, when I'll be honest, I take your jokes on the road sometimes, and I use, I switch them around.
But you always say,
I was like, hey, that was
Sarah Pop-Tarts.
I don't say Sarah, I say Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
Because I want to kind of get that branding.
Yeah.
But
when you're like, I grew up a little bit white trash, yeah, as you can see.
Yeah, I grew up really white trash, actually. Anyways, so, but you always tag, and then, but he's not tagging, so we're going to help you sue him.
Okay. It's Akura. Akura.
A harder brush sue. Akura.
He's nothing. Like, no offense. He's just
nothing.
Like,
he's nothing.
He's fucking nothing, guys. He's a fucking loser. Just a nobody. But I mean, he does only have like, I don't know, like 7,000 followers or something. The rest of his videos have like 500 views. And then there's mine on there. Just you. Like blowing up on his page. I'm like, but it didn't blow up on my own.
I like how you told her to shout out her haters, and she was like, no, I won't be doing that. She was like, actually, let's shout out some haters.
Yeah, like, this, fuck this dude. No.
Yeah. So I have a question, because I feel like there's a thing in comedy where, like, I mean, I think of you as a, even though you have very successful TikTok, I think of you as a comic first, a comic who does TikTok, not a TikToker who does comedy.
Yes.
And being in that lane and kind of knowing the stigmas that are attached to that, how has that affected, like, has that affected you at all? Has anyone ever, like, been like, oh, she's just from TikTok?
She's a TikToker. Not really, but I think that's because I haven't traveled too much. Because in Indianapolis, everybody knows that, you know, I got my roots in stand-up. That's how I started. I was never, like, I mean, nobody was a TikTok comic until then. Exist. And I don't ever... I think I got lucky in that way to be able to get started with actual stand up before
You have jokes. I feel like that's the thing. The complaint about most TikTokers is like they have, you know, maybe they can sell out something and people come, and then it's just like a bunch of them just like, hey, kinda what time
walking
I did this?
Around the stage, like kind of roasting the crowd, not really knowing what to say. Yeah, I mean, to an extent, I like envy those people, though, to be able to just be able to sell out a room and do whatever you want on stage and not, because like at the end of the day, it's fans that you're trying to impress.
Mm-hmm. You're falling to the dark side, sir.
Well, like you want to impress other comics. You want other comics to know that you have jokes, but also like selling out a room, like that's how you start making money. That's how you can go on the road. That's how you don't have to work two jobs while also trying to do it in stand up. Like,
well, I think that's the thing. I think the demarcation line is that people are jealous because people are selling tickets to a thing. But that is, I think it's sometimes it's just like, well, what you're doing sometimes isn't, not you, but sometimes what people are doing is like, well, that's not technically stand-up comedy.
Right.
And it's just like, whatever. Like, if you have a live podcast and you can sell out Helium.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, we just need to start calling it something else. Like, live TikTok. Like, it's not stand-up comedy. This is just... seeing a TikToker live is what you're seeing. Unless you're an actual stand-up comic, and then you get to do stand-up comedy.
Also, there's going to be someone hating on you if you're ever selling anything. I mean, look at Matt Rife.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard a lot of like big comics be like, he's a really nice guy and he's funny. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just like people are just mad because of how much he's in demand.
Yeah,
you know?
And he like, there was 2 years ago maybe, he was just doing stand-up. Like, I went to his show in Indianapolis in, like, 2021. It was on a random Tuesday, and there were, like, 60 people in the crowd. So, I mean, like, he did all of that shit that we all did where you're, like, you know, trying to sell out a show on a Tuesday and 60 people come. That was only 2 years ago. So, TikTok changed a lot for him.
I hate to interrupt about my wife. Can you get me a beer in there? I hate to interrupt.
Is this for real?
Don't do it, Sarah. Don't do it.
It's the Upland beer right beside you. I have to go all the way around.
Do you actually want me to do this?
Yeah, I don't know if
this is real or not.
This is a plug for Upland.
Yeah, I don't know if this is like just to see what I'll do.
No, I'll get it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I didn't know if you guys had trust issues, and I didn't know if you guys were just tricking me into doing something.
Oh, no, he's tricking all of us.
I was just getting that. Get that Raz.
I didn't know if you were like, you're famous now, and like, let's see if you'll still like put those server hands to work and bring me a beer.
Oh,
like,
I would never do that. I was asking a friend to get me a beer.
I'm kidding.
There was nothing else other than that. And it's Upland beer.
Yeah, we also don't think you're famous. I don't.
It's Upland beer, so you're allowed to interrupt with Upland. Upland beer is the best beer that hits anybody's taste buds. Cheers.
You know, cheers. You know what also Upland is? It's the official beer of Harder Brunch Summer Camp.
Hey, oh, well, that's good.
August 25th, 26th, and the 27th.
I thought I was going to dance to the Harder Brunch song, but I haven't heard that horn in a long time.
Harder Brunch Summer Camp.
Hey!
Harder Brunch Summer Camp. Harder Brunch Summer Camp.
We're putting plugs in early.
Yeah, we're getting them in.
You have to.
Getting them in.
This, the algorithm wants us to. We get held up by our algorithm, like, do this.
I was speaking about like fame and stuff. Like, it was funny because I feel like every time, you know, you do a comedy show, you're famous for like 20 minutes afterwards, yeah. You know, and it's just like everyone's telling you how great you were and this, that, and the other. And so this February, I was featuring for Dusty Slay, and he's got like 5 sold out shows at Helium. Almost everyone stayed for like the meet and greet afterwards. So he's got 300 people leaving from the first show, 300 more people coming in for the second show. It's just a clusterfuck, but it's just like, I'm I'm like, I'm overwhelmed by it. People are being nice to me, right. You know, like, and I'm just like, oh, that's crazy. But I'm still thinking like, you know, this is just the magic of in the club. And then we went out for cigars after, like, just me and him. And we walked in and like the server just was like, mesmerized staring at him, and she was pointed at him and was like, "You're from Netflix."
Oh my god.
And he was like, you know, she was like, "What's your name?" She didn't know his name.
Does he still like live in Tennessee?
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, just to be able, like, he's like famous and he's just living his same lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm sure, and it's a better lifestyle, yeah, but
but still very humble. But then like going to a cigar bar and getting recognized by the server.
I drove him around in my car, which is not street legal. And I was like we got on the interstate, which is not a thing I normally do. And I was just like, hey, just FYI, I don't know if this car is going to fly apart. And I had to tell Dusty.
Your current car right now?
Yeah.
It's not because he has like a super fast stocked up car.
No. I mean, it's not legal to drive on the road because it's a piece of shit. Yeah.
My car's too fast.
Yeah. So, but he was super cool. Like, we got there and he was like, everything seems okay. And I was like, I wish I hadn't told you that. I wish I would have just been like,
wait, were you in totally, Indy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking you had like driven to Tennessee and then you were like, oh, by the way.
I had to drive him to do morning radio for Bob and Tom.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like the time they had me to pick him up to the time we were supposed to be at Bob and Tom was like, it was like 28 minutes. And the thing said it would take 30 minutes to get there. So it was just like, we had to take the interstate.
Yeah.
And but like we went out for cigars later and the chick is just like, oh my God, Netflix. And then she was just like, everything's on me. And then she was like, cool. I just want a photo with you. And I was just like, oh, I was like, this is a weird question, but I was like, how famous are you? You know, like, you're just like out hanging out with the dude.
How famous are you?
And I was like, how famous are you? I was like, does this stuff like that happen all the time? He's like, it's been happening more often.
Yeah.
That's a humble answer too.
When I'll do shows with Hannah Berner, like and she's gotten a lot more famous, but the first show I ever did with her, we were drinking at we got brunch and we were having like a couple drinks and these like bachelorette party girls came up to her and they were like, oh my God, it's Hannah Berner. And I was like, me just beside her as like the host for the weekend. But I was like, do you want to hang out? And then to watch her, like, now she like doesn't even get like, girls are crazy. So she gets like escorted in to the show.
Oh wow.
And then like we stay back in the green room that's locked.
No meet and greet.
No meet and greet. No, because even when she like goes out there, you'll see girls. They're like, they'll literally like grab for her hands and stuff. Like girls, like fan girls are like, they'll get touchy.
Grabbing for hands. I know this.
Drunk women are the handsiest people on earth.
The handsiest people on earth.
So like they want to like hug her. They want a million pictures and like, I get it. Like I think that if I had that many people like bombarding me, I would want to just stay back in the green room too.
Yeah.
I've had a little handiness, but like I'm talking like when you get famous, like you see the Beatles. What? You're laughing at like,
I hit the microphone and Zach was making fun of me.
Well, you guys don't know. People get handsy with me sometimes and I
but then you compared yourself to the Beatles and I think I had an aneurysm. Checked out there. It's like maybe a Beatle.
All right, y'all. Okay. I don't even want to talk about my handsy experiences. You guys are going to get a real juicy story.
All right.
You lost it.
Who was giving you hands?
No, I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's fine. Let's move on.
Was there a story?
Let's move on.
I don't think there was.
There was a story.
Sarah, you have been recently headlining. You're out there headlining real clubs.
Yeah, that's weird, huh?
What was it in Chicago?
The Comedy Bar.
The Comedy Bar. How was that?
It was so fun. I lucked into it. I was supposed to feature and the headliner canceled. And they were like, do you just want a headline instead? And I was like, y'all trust me to headline? Like, I do think that that's one of those instances where it's a blessing and a curse to have a social media following, because people just assume that you have an hour of material. It's like, okay, you have 99,000 followers on Instagram. Like, so you must have like an hour of material. I'm like, I don't. Not an hour of material that I'm like willing to tell.
Sure.
And like headline it. Like,
but when you get those opportunities at some point, especially like where you're at, that's when you just have to kind of stretch a little bit.
Outside
of the comfort zone.
I told them that I would do 40 minutes and they were like, that's fine. I was like, I have 40 minutes. Like, I have 40 minutes that I'm okay with. But I like, no, I think that's the thing with like the TikTok people. Like, if they've never done stand up, they do not realize how long an hour is, and then how long it takes to build an hour set. Like
59 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. And 59 seconds.
Yeah. And you're not, you don't do like a lot of crowd work either. Like, you're kind of like to your material, aren't you?
Trying to get better at crowd work.
Yeah.
One, because trying to get clips for social media, I'll say it. I'm like, I'm being a sellout in that way. And like, that's a way to get your social media out there and show people that you do stand up without showing them your jokes.
What we should do is we should just rent out the upstairs at Helium and all take turns sitting in the audience and doing like fake like plants. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Pop-Tarts, roast heckler. I'll be the heckler. Yeah. And then it's like, Tyke Michaels, roast heckler.
Sarah Pop-Tarts disarms black man.
Anything. That's all it is. Just, it's like all the comics can come and just do one heckler roast.
Yeah.
And then we put it on social media.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, I wanted, or a special, which is Oops All Plants.
Oops All Plants. That's nice. I don't have anything for that.
Like plants, like house plants?
No, like people like planted in the audience.
Oh, I got it.
Like, if you had your friend Heidi, like in the audience.
Oops, all snake plants. It's just an audience full of house plants.
I do.
Oh, how did this happen?
I do really like how plants can mean two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this newfound TikTok fame, everyone is always nice to you and kind to you on social media. Everyone has positive things to say.
Oh, nice.
Just reinforcing positive feelings.
Mm-hmm. All the time. No.
You read the comics?
I do. I know that I shouldn't.
That's like smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I try to read them and then put my phone away and go do something else. I feel like that's probably why I've gotten into like taking a lot of walks and working out here lately.
Really?
Because if I'm like doing something physical or activity, then I won't read the comments, or I'll read them and then I'm like, I got to go do something to not think about that. Cause it's always, I'm sorry. I know you guys, I love you guys. You guys are so nice. It's always men.
Sure.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
take that back.
I'm sorry, because I like, that's what pisses me off.
Not all men.
It pisses me off because in real life, when I like hang out with guys, I'm like around guys 90% of the time. I do comedy as a female. So like, I never deal with any shit from men that I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's men on the internet that hate me. Like, hate. And it always has to do with me being a female. And then I'll say something back and they're like, oh, you just hate men. Like, why do you act like that? And I'm like, no, men are just mean to me on the internet sometimes. And I'll say something back.
Well, I got to tell you, Sarah, because I mean, sometimes I've seen people comment, and you have so many good positive comments. Mm-hmm. But I'll see someone and they'll be like, oh, this person's not that funny. Or this, she's not as hot as she thinks she is. And right. I'm like,
and I was drunk when I wrote that.
You were. You walked it back later. You walked it back.
And here I was saying that you guys are nice to me in real life, not knowing.
But I was like, that's not my place to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I do feel like kind of like a big brother. I'm like, oh, man. But I'm like, that's not my place. But there was one thing that I could not let pass, and that was someone accused you of not actually drinking A1 and said that you were pretending to drink A1. Yes. And I was like, no, sir. No. She's not doing that for clout. She is a real garbage person. I've seen her do it in person.
I think you said she's legit garbage, which was my favorite insult I've ever gotten. No, she's legit garbage. I've seen her do that in real life.
I look at garbage. That was your defense?
Yeah.
She's legit garbage?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to stand up for her, protect her honor here.
She's actually fucking disgusting in real life, too, just so you know.
She's legit. Legit garbage.
I mean, that would be like worse than any like doping controversies. Be like, I don't think she was actually drinking real A1. Like, yeah. What did you think it was? What's the fake A1? Like, what's?
I think somebody said that's a protein shake, and I was like,
with beets.
Yeah, like that's a thick protein shake.
She's drinking straight up Civil War juice, straight out of the tap. That's what the lady at the Styrian said to me when
I
asked.
It's called Civil War juice?
Well, I said, I tried to get a whole bottle, and they looked at me like, I was like, can I get a bottle of A1? She was like, you want like a to-go thing of A1? And I was like, sure. And then she started putting like little baby drops in. I said, fill it up.
You said, give me the big one.
And then she looked
no,
at
thank
it.
Thank you. Cheers,
it's,
everyone.
It's, cheers. Oh, this is real cheers. A1. I will A1. Say that I got it, sourced it myself, and Sarah is now drinking it. Like,
This isn't
like a circus trick, like you hold your nose and like slurp down a raw egg. Like, you enjoyed that.
Uh-huh.
That was a treat.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little thank you.
You can see she's happier after
she
it.
She is happier.
I feel alive. I'm a little drunk.
Wow. When did you find out you have this love for A1?
As a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think, no offense to my mom, but she was a really bad cook. But she didn't know that she was a bad cook. And she'd always be like, oh, I made my famous beef stew. And I'm like, okay. So I would just drown the beef stew with A1 sauce. So really, I was just having like A1 sauce soup. Yeah. And I realized like that I liked A1. And I know like now there's better food out there and I'll eat it without A1 sauce. But I just like grew an attachment to it. So
now
I associate any like red meat needing to have A1 sauce with it or anything really. Baked potatoes, fries.
You put it on a burger?
Oh, yeah.
Burger, fries. Chicken?
Chicken, yeah. I like it best on like potatoes, any form of potato I like it on. I'm trying to think of anything weird I put. Maybe salmon. Salmon might be a little weird to put it on.
Eggs?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I put mustard on my eggs.
Okay. Mustard eggs.
I'm a sauce person though. Like, yeah. Any vinegary sauce, I'm normally going to like it. So balsamic vinegar, mustard, A1 sauce are like my top three.
I just can't wait till you become like just get more and more famous and you're like at some fancy restaurant and like some chef brings out some prepared thing and you're like, may I please have some A1?
It's some of your finest A1, so thank you. He like comes out, it's like just like a little dribble. I'm like, go ahead and bring the bottle, sir. Thank you. We'll be purchasing the bottle tonight. Yeah.
Bring your 10-year age to A1.
But yeah, when I picked it up, the lady was like, this is from, what she said at first, she goes, this is from the Depression. I said, excuse me?
Well, it is from like the Civil War when the meat was so bad back then because they didn't have a refrigeration system that they created A1 steak sauce to make meat edible. Just
cover up the taste of rancid meat.
I mean, yeah, it can cover up the taste of rancid meat. If that doesn't sell how good it is, I don't know what that is.
That's crazy.
It's like the Febreze of sauces.
You'd think that would bring people together during the Civil War.
What did that first one say? The top thing?
It said, it's funny how in the midst of the American Civil War, someone invented A1.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're like, we got to be able to eat. We got men going to war.
They're like, slavery may go or it might stay, but A1 stays. Everybody agrees.
A1 steak sauce tastes like slavery.
I wonder if it's like an older sauce than other ones. Like, I don't know when ketchup was created, but I don't know if it was before or after A1 sauce.
It had to be after, before.
Well, no, I mean, like, ketchup, they do this thing where they compare it to, like, fish sauces and, like, fermented walnut sauces that were technically ketchups way back.
Mm.
It wasn't until America that ketchups got, like, a tomato base to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So ketchup could be made out of walnuts?
Yeah, there's all sorts of ketchups you can make.
Can we have a ketchup brunch or, like, where we make walnut ketchup?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you feel about homemade ketchup? Like, if you go to a restaurant and you ask for ketchup for your fries and they're like, oh, we only have our house-made, chef-inspired special ketchup.
I'll be completely honest. I feel like everyone else in this room has the opposite opinion because I know Zach's is. But, like, they're hit or miss. They're hit or miss. Honestly, mm-hmm. like, some I've had some really good. Some of them just, like, this is garbage. One of my favorite, there's a local company called Local Folks, and they do, like, ketchup, barbecue sauce, pizza sauce. Everything they make, I feel like is great. And it's mm-hmm. definitely got, like, a different. So if you're, like, I only want Heinz 57, that's the only thing that's, like, ketchup to me. I'm like, no, I've had some good ones, but I've also gotten some places I'm like, I could have just taken the Heinz.
Right. I think that they should give you the option.
Mm, yeah.
Like,
oh.
Like, here, try this one that our very good chef made. If you don't like it, you can still get the junkie ketchup.
Yeah.
No.
If that's how you
are. So I used to have a food truck, and I had to, like, learn that because I was coming straight out of culinary school and I was like, I don't want everything to be fancy. I would do everything. And so I was a way of kind of like some things of just like, we're not having regular ketchup. We're having this bougie ketchup. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, I was just like, just give them the regular ketchup. Give people what they want. You know, it's just like, don't bum someone out and force them to eat a burger or whatever the way that you want it. Like, they're eating it, you know? If you want to put A1, do it.
But they're also coming to your restaurant. So, hey, if you don't like our ketchup, get the frick out of here. Honestly, you know what? We make this type of ketchup, and if you like it, people are going to come.
I think it's kind of pretentious, though.
It's expensive.
It is.
Ketchup is
pretentious.
Yeah. So, when you're like, no, this is better. You'll like this better. Well, okay. Well, I don't always like the same things as everybody else.
So. Then don't go there.
So I had a mustard and ketchup business where I sold mustard and ketchups. What? Like, yeah, like to like restaurants around the city.
Like regular ketchup and mustard or fancy ketchup and mustard?
We had all varieties. We had like a regular ketchup flavored ones. We had like a yellow mustard and some whole grain ones.
Was it a smaller brand though?
Yeah, it was a smaller brand.
It's called
not
Batch,
like Heinz.
No, it's called Batch. Yeah. Yeah. Like he made them.
Yeah,
it was his company.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And so
sorry, I just like accidentally trashed your company. I'm like, was it a small, teeny, tiny company?
Oh, was it?
A little local nothing company that was yours?
But no, I definitely love trash ketchup the most, like out of anything. I would eat my own mustard and stuff like that, but I had a fancy ketchup and I hardly ever ate it.
You would still go for the 57?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like childhood, right? Mm, it was the thing, like, because I feel the same way about A1. We tried for years to make like something that could clone an A1.
Yeah.
And it was pretty difficult. Like I never came up with one that was satisfactory.
Yeah. I don't know what is in there. I mean, we can look at the ingredients and figure it out, but I think it's really hard to replicate. Cause even at like a fancy steakhouse where they're like, we only have our St. Elmo's steak sauce here. I'm like, well, I don't want that. It's not good. Your steaks are good, but your steak sauce isn't. So just let me have the good stuff.
I worked at a place where they made a shitty steak sauce just as
on purpose.
Yeah, just as a troll to the people who would order steak sauce with their steaks.
I think that's what St. Elmo's does too.
I mean, that's kind of what I think maybe.
Because I was awesome. Like, this is not good. I even worked there too, and I would tell them like they were going to listen to me as like a part time server. But I was like, you guys should really consider getting A1. Yeah. They're like, okay.
So tomato puree, water, vinegar, corn syrup, salt. Raisin paste. Maybe that's the secret ingredient.
Man, I played around with raisin paste and tamarind and all sorts of stuff. Like, it's got to be something in the proportions or...
Crushed orange puree.
Xanax.
Dried garlic.
Xanax.
But there's also like natural flavors listed on there, which could like encompass a whole bunch of stuff that they don't have to list.
Did you try Xanax gum?
Xanthan gum? Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's a thickener. That's a thickener.
For things. Okay. That's common. Okay.
What's HEB?
HEB?
Yeah. The original steak sauce, HEB.
Oh, that's a restaurant chain. Oh. Or not a restaurant, a store. Like a grocery store chain.
Hey guys, can we? We've been fighting a lot. Can we meet in the middle and say, "Hey, if you don't like homemade ketchup, just bring it in your purse."
Yeah, you can get those little small ones. I have those A1 steak sauce earrings, and I really wish it actually gave me the option to put the sauce in there. But
I was just gonna say the merch. You should get like little keychains, little like A1 mini bottle keychains.
Oh my god!
Can you see if there's A1 mini bottles?
Am I legally allowed to use somebody else's brand?
It's just a letter and a number.
I mean, are they doing branding things with anybody? You should reach out to them.
Yeah.
I don't know how to reach out to A1.
Or you just buy a 60 pack for $100.
Yeah. Just sell that as my merch. Wasn't Peter Hines doing that? He was selling Heinz ketchup packets as his merch. I was like, I don't think if you're legally allowed to do that, but
I lost a lot of money on that.
Yeah, we don't know who we. Do you guys know that name?
What?
Oh,
the I person think she was referring to.
I've not heard of him.
I don't know who.
We don't know who you're talking about.
Okay,
I've heard of Cornfield Bigfoot.
Yeah. Cornfield Bigfoot. Originally him. We know him. We don't dead name around here.
And for some reason, Cornfield Bigfoot sells a lot of ketchup.
Yeah, why are you selling ketchup packets?
All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Sarah Huntington.
This week on the After Brunch podcast.
Oh, my word. Was that the second staff party, or was that the first one?
The first one was awesome. The second one was not awesome.
Was it the last one that you
went to? Yeah, it was the last one I was invited to.
Okay, that makes more sense.
There literally was a biracial chick that had just started working there that looked just like Morgan, and she had to share a room with us, and she asked to be moved to a different room the next day. She was like, I don't know. I don't even work with this guy. He's been throwing up brownies everywhere.
That almost goes without saying. Of course she has to leave. What type of psychopath? I actually like it here. You want another room, girl that looks like Morgan? No, I'm fine. I'm actually going to stay here. This guy is scream puking in his sleep and swimming in it right now. I'm going to stay next to him and get drunk.
Join us at patreon.com/harderbrunch.
Welcome back. I was just in Louisville for the weekend, and I got to tell you, I had a great time down there. But one thing that I missed every time I go on the road is my Tinker coffee. Like, we always have it, obviously, in the studio for the guests, and we use it in our house. But when I go on the road, I just have to make do with whatever I get. And some of it was okay, and some of it just really, really bad. With Tinker, it's always good. Every time it's good and it's consistent, it's low acid, it's exactly like the amount of caffeine that I want to wake up in the morning, and I just miss it on the road, and I just want you guys to know that.
I will say Tinker is my favorite coffee as well, but whoever is making the coffee at the office that I work at like a co-working space here, mm-hmm. We use Tinker coffee. And it's still really bad. So I'm like, Hayden, like you, like that's how bad you are at making coffee that you're fucking up Tinker Street coffee. Like, oh. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. How are you messing up coffee this badly?
Oh, you got to cut that out.
Putting A1 in it.
You're not allowed to say that.
No, it's him. It's not Tinker because I love their coffee. It's him that's doing it.
I got to tell you, I just have to get this off my chest because this happened to me when I was in Louisville. But I was driving around, and I was Thad let me borrow his car, which was very nice. And my car doesn't have this ability, but Thad's you can just like Bluetooth in and just talk to the car like you're in a spaceship, you know? Like I don't have that. So like I'm driving around and I'm like talking to people and I'm having this kind of in-depth conversation, but I realize that I'm just driving around Louisville. Like I'm not going anywhere. I'm just kind of like driving around. And then I like look over and it's probably like 10 in the morning. I don't know. And there's just a woman showering on the side of a building, completely nude. And
outside?
Yeah. Like,
was there a shower head outside?
There was like, no, all I saw was there was definitely some water coming. I don't know if it was what it was from, but water was dripping down onto a nude body. And there was kind of like a little bit of covering. So like when you're coming, like, you didn't get a C until you passed it. Does that make sense? Like,
Was it her apartment? Did you?
It just looked like someone.
Did you like accidentally look in on somebody showering in her apartment?
Yeah, you can only get it when you're by the window, which is really weird.
You kind of have to be standing like in her living room to the right.
She kept throwing stuff at me and telling me to get out of there. No, this was definitely on the side of a building, and at first I was like, oh, it looked like someone was like something was just hosing someone off, something off, and then I like looked and I was like, oh, that person's completely naked. Like, I know how she shaved. Like, it was
how long did you watch? I mean,
it didn't take that long, but it was just enough to be like, because when you're not expecting full frontal, you know, it's almost like it takes your brain a minute to realize what you're looking at.
Did she look normal, or did she look like she would be showering outside?
Well,
wait, time out. What does that
like
even mean?
Like, she'd be drinking A1.
Yeah.
Wait, time out. I'm getting really confused.
Well, it was hard to tell.
Did she look like a crackhead?
Here's the thing. It was a little bit hard to tell because I did not get to see her face. Because
you were only looking at her.
I saw from like the neck down.
Sure.
And she wasn't wearing any clothes, so there wasn't any of those classic signifiers of like how a person's doing.
She didn't have meth titties?
The classic. I would go so far as to say she looked well fed. She didn't look like she.
Oh, so probably not
meth. Oh. I mean, she looked like she was healthy.
Okay, say, so that's even more interesting.
So probably not crack.
Probably, I mean.
Or meth.
It's hard to
or
make.
Or the early days of crack.
It's hard to make drive-by diagnosis on people that are.
But you said you could see how she shaved.
Well.
You sounded like you got in-depth detail.
It seems like
you
were focused on some things.
I will.
Can you be fat on heroin?
Yes.
Yeah. I will say this. I was the pubic maintenance made me think that she was not homeless.
It was good?
It was more than I would give someone that was living on the street credit for. Like, if you're living on the street, that can't be a top priority for you, right?
I mean, I've never surveyed.
Like, were there designs in it? Are you talking like...
It was a bit of a landing strip. It was like, it appeared to be a landing strip with some overgrowth. Like, it was like a landing strip that had been...
Not very well maintained.
For like a couple weeks, maybe.
So maybe she'd just been homeless for a couple weeks.
She might be newly.
You were very specific on this pubic hair situation.
She had about a little bit more on the left than the right.
It kind of went up and swooped. Like she was doing a Nike. Nike.
If I had to explain her labia, it was
not homeless labia.
It was just one of those things. And then it was like I immediately had so many questions. And I like for a split, like for a fraction of a second, I'm like, I'm driving back. And I was like, no, that's a terrible idea.
You just walk up to her.
Not like looping around the block.
That is the worst intuition I've ever heard. Like go back and be like, I saw you from the road. And all I saw was your, you know.
And I was just wondering, are you homeless? Because by your pubic hair, you don't
seem homeless.
and I'm also looking for somewhere to stay. So if you
I think part of me, my real curiosity was this a thing where somebody thought they were showering in private and were just completely unaware, or two, was it just like out of necessity, you know, like, hey, I had this 10 opportunity.
10 a.m. seems like a weird time to do that out of necessity. I feel like, you know, if I was like, I don't have a choice, like I'm homeless and I have to shower outside, I'd probably do it at like 4 o'clock in the morning where I felt like the least amount of people would be out.
Yeah. Or was it just something where, you know, she didn't care? Maybe she had a few drinks in her. It was just like, we're doing this now. Yeah. I just had so many questions.
At 10 a.m. though?
Yeah, I mean.
Even for a homeless person, 10 a.m. seems like an odd time to be.
Showering, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to shower a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, yeah. When I was homeless, I always showered like 6 to 8 a.m. Least amount of people outside.
How many people were around? That's my other question.
I mean, it was, I would say, a normal street. Like, I don't think there was a bunch of people. I felt like I was I just happened to look over at the right time or the wrong time, depending on.
Have you ever showered outside, like in an actual outdoor shower?
I've showered in the freaking river.
That's not a shower.
That's not a shower. That's just swimming in the river, Thad.
You can shower in a waterfall.
No, I don't think I've ever actually... The camp that we're doing summer camp at used to have like like a freestanding like shower that was just like for like they had one camp that was like far away from the base camp, and so they just had a, it was just like a spigot that came out of the ground, and then they built a little thing where they you could put like a shower curtain around it.
Oh yeah,
but it was just like literally a shower curtain in the middle of the deep woods, and he just take a shower. But I was like, I'm not getting in that.
That's, yeah, I don't know if I'd get in a that wood, wood shower.
I would feel like you're definitely gonna get like Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, especially there. With a curtain around you, you can't see what's around you out in the woods showering. Yeah. You're naked. You're vulnerable. No, I did shower out. Like there was a I went to. A fancy spa one time and like I got the massage and he was done and he was like, okay, you can just like shower off and then when you're done let me know. And so I didn't realize that the shower was outside. So I just like kind of was just walking around the room for like 15 minutes trying to find the shower. The room is only like the size of this room that we're in right now, and I'm like just looking around for the shower, and he finally came back in. He's like, did you shower off? And I was like, I can't find the shower. He's like, it's outside. You have to like go outside, which it was really nice once I finally did it. But
now you seem like the kind of person, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that maybe when you've been out drinking before that you've definitely like peed outside.
Oh,
like in public.
Oh, for sure. I actually peed on a guy's grill one time on accident.
Oh no.
And I didn't know, but I went around the corner.
Like in his mouth?
Let me see your grill. Smile for me, daddy.
Was his name Paul Wall?
Oh, that's a different thing. This is about outside. I peed on his grill outside, which also could go both ways. Okay. but like I went around the corner on Mass Ave and I was like, you know, hammered. And I just like kind of like found like a corner alley that I was like, I'll just pee right here. And then I like got back to my friends and we're standing outside and some guy's like, hey, which one of you pissed on my grill? And I'm like, not us. What, like, what are you doing, sir? And he's like, you peed on my grill. He's like, it was you. And I was like, it wasn't me. And he goes, oh yeah, why does my Ring camera show you pissing on my grill? I was like, I don't know why you're acting like that. You're acting really like angry and weird right now for like no reason.
If only that guy knew what a gold mine he was sitting on for TikTok.
Well, I did that, and then we went in two different Ubers, like a group of friends of mine, and then we went in two different Ubers. And when we got to the bar, my friends were like, Sarah, that guy put it on the internet. You're like on the internet. And they convinced me for like 10 minutes that like the video was on the internet and I was being shamed on the internet for pissing on some guy's grill, as I tell you guys about it now, but we don't know him. So
that's amazing.
Smile for me, dad. You want to see my what?
I want to piss in your grill.
I like,
no,
I
that
like,
didn't rhyme at all. That didn't go well at all.
I like when friends, I like those kind of jokes.
Yeah. Like, wait, what are you talking about?
When everyone just convinces you of something terrible for, you know.
I love that.
I hate those. We don't do that at Heart of Brunch.
You don't.
No.
Nope. You know what? It's time for the Smoking Goose Brunch Breakdown. We did an away game today. We did a very rare home away game, which we all right, nobody goes signed on that one.
What were we supposed to say?
I don't know. It is, everyone just got real quiet and looked at me like,
we're listening to you.
We did a home away game, which was by Steerin', which is a local Irvington staple. We brought it home and we played it up, which was fun, which I think Zach had a good idea that we should definitely do more to go food and then played it up at home.
It's a much easier way to easier. Do it.
Yeah. And it felt better eating it, you know, just like usually I just eat it out of the box in my car, sad, but plating it up was fun.
What was the theme of today?
Steerin'. It was, it's an Irvington staple.
Oh,
We don't know and, that theme. Sarah had never eaten at the Steerin', so this was the first time. What'd you have, Sarah?
I had the boneless wings, buffalo boneless wings. They're great. I like when it doesn't have a lot of breading on it, and they didn't. So I'm definitely a more meat to bread ratio. on my chicken wings.
Now, are you always boneless over like bone in?
No, I would normally get bone in, but okay. I didn't see that they had that option.
Okay. I know some people are very particular about it.
Like, no, normally, because I don't like a lot of breading, but those ones were perfect for boneless because they didn't have a lot of breading. But a lot of times with boneless, you can get them like naked with just the sauce, which I like.
Sauce Boss, what'd you get?
I got the loaded fries. They were loaded with cheese and bacon. And then I think we put some sriracha mayonnaise on
Kicked
top.
Kicked it up a notch, didn't we?
Yeah.
Can you share that with Casey? Casey Campbell, you had a real interesting one.
I was just very confused by the entire thing. I mean, this whole day has just been very confusing top to bottom. And I just said, this menu seems confusing. I'll get fish and chips. I love that. And then you came back maybe 10 minutes later and asked me again about a side. And I said mashed potatoes and gravy because I just thought you needed another option.
I think we were both on the same page that we thought that there was going to be fish and chips and then a side of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I was like...
But what happened was it became fish and chips was fish and mashed potatoes, which is an interesting thing.
I will say, though, it kind of reminded me of... I used to go to this place in Broderpool called Robin J's Chippy. Mm-hmm. It was like at British fish and chips place.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could get gravy on the side there.
Okay.
And it chips? Like unlocked that memory. Yeah, it would be like fish and chips... Like British, real greasy, real thick breading and everything, real crispy, and like a curried gravy.
The thing about Steerin is that they just kind of do everything. So like it's a breakfast place, but it's also they do like deep. You can get a deep dish pizza there. You get like they got the smoker going all day, so you get like fresh barbecue and stuff like that. Yeah, I always say it's the perfect place for hangover food. They also do like amazing pies, like around like holiday times, they'll sell pies.
It's like the opposite of those fancy steakhouses that won't give you A1 steak sauce. They're like, whatever you want, baby, we'll make it for you. Like,
there's no
even if they don't have it on the menu, they're like, we'll figure it out. Just tell us what you want. I'm sure we've got the ingredients in the back.
We went there, so it was an old, like, what do they call it? Car hop? Is that what it's called? It was an old car hop. And then in COVID, they closed down and they opened the car hop back up so you could come.
Right now you can?
No, not now. Oh. But like during COVID. So like the first
time.
Did
they come out on skates?
They did not. Did they? No, they didn't come out on skates. I think originally they did back in the 60s.
I like to think that somebody like that has been serving there forever and they're like, all right, now figure out rollerblades, Patricia. It's like some 70-year-old woman. She's like, fuck.
I haven't done this in years.
If you want to keep this job, you're going to have to figure out how to rollerblade.
So shout out to Historic Steerin. One of the favorite things about Steerin is that Guy Fieri came.
I knew the guy who was running the kitchen when he visited.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently, I don't know if this is great tea, but so apparently they decided that they needed to do a bunch of stuff from scratch because there's a lot of things that were out of cans or whatever. And so the guy who was the kitchen manager was not in the episode. It was the owner who had printed up like all recipes, whatever. It was like the marinara and stuff. Like, we make our own marinara from scratch and all this shit.
So they lied a lot.
I think there's probably a lot of places that do that.
Yeah.
Well,
because no one, you got to throw some stank on it.
Yeah. 90% of places are open in cans and
we don't do that. Do we?
I mean, sometimes we do that.
Oh, today we did.
Today
we literally just replated it. Well, I could say they probably steered us in the wrong direction.
That was good. That was very good.
Did you see what I did with the words?
I think next time Sarah comes on as a guest and we should do a full like white trash.
Yeah,
we've done that.
I don't want to lose our white fans though. White fans, we love you out there.
We don't think you're trash.
We don't think there's such a thing as white trash.
What would be your ideal like white trash brunch or meal?
Ooh, I don't know. Definitely meatloaf, hot dogs, Vienna sausages, like Vienna sausages with crackers and cheese, but you have to take the they have to be saltine crackers, and then you put the cheese on it, and then you put it in the microwave and let that get like, the cracker has to be like almost a little bit soggy, and then you put the Vienna sausage on top.
What kind of
with
cheese?
With hot sauce. Just like the kind that comes in the plastic
This sounds like something you make in prison. That's what that sounds like.
I think some of my favorite meals are stuff that you could make in prison. Like, I do like trashy ramen, like ramen with cheese and mustard and Doritos in it.
How do you feel like you would do in prison?
So well.
Yeah.
I really do. I think
you
that
got a prison plan?
I think that if I ended up in prison, I would be one of the people that had like a following. Yeah. I think I could convince enough girls to be on my side and I could be like just nice enough that I would have like a group of girls that would like fight people for me. I would have a group of girls that just like would hang out with me. Like I do think that I would do well in prison.
Now, do you go cornrows or do you go like shaved head?
No, I think like, I think that I would still try and be myself. Like when my sister went to prison, every time we went to go see her, like her makeup was always done and stuff. And I was like, how is your makeup done? She's like, oh yeah. Like I just melt crowns. And then like you melt the crowns, you use that as eyeshadow. And then like, yeah, they would just take like certain things and they could turn it into makeup. So my sister always like had her makeup done perfectly whenever we went to go see her.
I'm always surprised that like the guards wouldn't just be like, hey, wash that off. Like you're not allowed to have that.
Well, you're allowed to have crowns. Like you're just not allowed to have. And I think once you get to like actual prison, like not necessarily jail, like even on like your commissary, you can buy like a little bit of makeup. But yeah, I think that I would do just fine in there. I think, yeah, I'd probably figure out how to like still curl my hair and everything with a.
You seem like the kind of the gal that would have like a razor blade tucked up in her cheek just in case you had to cut someone.
Yeah, I'm not scared to fight. I think we know that. I think everyone knows that I'm not. I've fought a grown man before on accident. So I would either be very popular or I would be killed within the first 3 days. It could go either way. I would either piss enough people off or enough people would find me like interesting where they're like, we're going to protect her.
I think what you got to do at this point is you got to wait till you're like, you know, Martha Stewart level famous. And then you go to prison for like embezzlement of your company or something like that. And you go to one of those nice resort prisons.
Yeah.
You know,
there's got to be just like a terrible place where you're too well known to be in jail. You know, like I feel like you got to be nobody or famous enough that you get in a special place.
Yeah.
Like Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, to be like just famous enough to where you still have to go to regular prison would be terrible. Because then we'd be like, oh my God, you're that like dude from YouTube or whatever. And it's like, fine. I used to love watching you eat hot dogs, man. Like, you trying to eat this one? Like,
oh my God. Is your sister still in prison?
No, she's been out for like 5 or 6 years now. It's been a while.
That's so. I don't think I've. Do you have any relatives that have ever been in prison?
Nothing I can talk about.
I would say like probably like 1/4 of my family has been to prison.
Ooh, 25%.
Yeah, that's a good number.
Are you like the first one that went to college and didn't go to prison?
Yeah, I have that joke where I say my family threw more freedom parties than graduation parties because like we never had a graduation party. Like I think I was probably the third person to graduate from high school.
Oh, wow.
Like my brother and sister both didn't. I think my mom did. My mom and dad both did, but neither one of their brothers and sisters, any of them, graduated from high school. So my mom and dad were the first to graduate from high school in my family. And then I was the first to go to college.
Well, you're doing great then.
Yeah, yeah. So my parents are doing great too. They like started a business and, you know, like really separated themselves from probably what lifestyle they could have had they followed in the footsteps of a lot of other people.
And also congratulations, you just sold your house.
I did, my Muncie house. So it was nice to get rid of that. I had a house in Muncie that I bought when I was living. I had a very set plan for my life when I was 23. So like I lived in Muncie, I got a job, I got a full-time job, I bought a house, I like had a boyfriend that I was like, well, we're gonna get married, we're gonna have kids. Like I had like a very specific life I had planned for myself. And then obviously like 25, I moved to Indy and I started doing stand-up like a couple years after that. And then, you know, life is just, my life is a lot different now. So I was like, I don't really need that house. I don't feel like being a landlord. I'm not a landlord style of person. Yeah. And then I had friends living in there that were in grad school. And then once they graduated, I'm like, I'm not a landlord.
Yeah.
So I just sold the house.
That's gonna be nice though, right? A nice little chunk of change.
It was. And it flooded 4 days before we sold it.
Oh wow.
Which was unfortunate, but my insurance covered it. And then I got a little bit of extra money because insurance covered a little bit more than what it actually cost to fix it. So
nice.
Yeah, it's.
We don't normally get people to admit to fraud on the podcast.
Push the fraud button.
It wasn't like a substantial amount, but I'm like, oh, that's like a little bit. They know when they like quote everything. Like they're like, this is how much it should be charged. But also, if you find a guy, which we won't say his name out loud, to do it a little bit cheaper, like they can't yell at you for that.
Well, this podcast is underwritten by the Home Insurance Association.
Yeah. Can we do our quick sponsor plug for them?
It's a gotcha podcast.
Be honest. That's I think what they want us to say.
I have to give them like my $2,000 back.
How's the podcast going?
It's good. You know, we called it Beauty in the Breakdown because we thought that we were going to do like all this like beauty talk. And I feel like that's what happened on my TikTok as well. Basically, everything starts as me thinking like I'm going to do something cosmetology related and then it turns into chaos. So that's what's happened on our podcast, too.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of Heidi and I talking more about our breakdowns than anything. But
I did it and it was really fun. It was a really fun time being on there. And you guys have such a good like. Because you're really best friends. You're so right. It just like that comes through a lot in the show.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it just feels like you're a fly on the wall listening to a conversation you guys would be having in the car.
And like, you know, like those people that you meet where it's like instantly you're just bouncing off of each other. You're like, holy shit, this is a person that I like can just bounce off a good conversation with. Her and I, like within a week of knowing each other, we were getting in like super in-depth, sometimes funny, sometimes sad conversations. And I'm like, we just have one of those.
Yeah.
Relationships that's good for a podcast.
Yeah, we bounce very, off like, each other well. Motherly, friendly, all the above.
I am motherly to her.
He's motherly.
Ooh, yeah.
You're like 5 years older than she is.
Yeah. Which me guiding anyone in life, she'll always be like, I look up to you so much. I'm like, please don't. Please don't do that.
like you're actually better off than I was at your age.
Like I was still eating out of garbage cans when I was 25. Like
speaking of what, she still owes me a new chair. She broke our chair.
She did break your chair. She talks about that a lot. Yeah. She does bring that up quite a bit. I was like, I'm going to do harder brunch. She goes, didn't I break their chair? She's still upset about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she weighs 57 pounds. Yeah. So, you know.
The chair wasn't used to that. The chair was not.
It was going to break on the next person. I'm glad that it happened to her.
Yeah, a little bit less hard of a fall.
If a skinny person breaks a chair, people feel bad for you. If a fat person breaks a chair, it's just a pratfall.
Yeah.
People are just like, there's some comedy. Sometimes I forget, too, like the difference between like my natural reaction is a piece of shit to things and then like what like a normal human being does. So for example, I went and saw a movie with Gwen and I brought some M&Ms, like a bag, like a giant bag of like peanut M&Ms, and I had them on my lap and I forgot because I was stoned, and I got up at the end of the movie and they just we were at the very.
Wait, did you buy them at the movie theater?
No, of course I brought them in.
Of course. And, yeah.
Like, I stood up and we're in the very back row, and you just hear these fucking peanut M&Ms hitting every single, just rolling down. And I'm just like, I can't even clean this up. Like, we just have to bail on this whole thing. And she roasted me for like a week. And then, like, 2 months later, like, we went with a big group of, like, her coworkers to see the Barbie movie.
Mm.
And, like, we sat down, and it's just, like, there's, like, a group of 20 of us. We're all wearing pink. And, like, she just sets her popcorn down. We're in, the front row. She sets her popcorn down on this little ledge, and it just fell over. And I was just like, ah! And I'm just, like, laughing, and everyone else is horrified looking at me, like, why would you laugh at a woman dropped her popcorn? It was like when I used to go on stage, like when we were first starting up, Hannah would go on stage and like roast me. Mm. And then I would go on stage and like roast her. But like if I ever went first,
yeah, and roasted, people didn't like that.
Yeah, they were like, what's this?
I hate this roasting misogynist. Women. Anytime I do a roast, I hate when I roast women. I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, I love roasting men.
Your face just lit up like you had some A1 when you said that. I love roasting men.
I love it. And drinking A1 and roasting men. It's two of my favorite pastimes.
What was last? You've done quite a few roasts, haven't you?
Not so much anymore.
Did you roast Dad?
I don't want to. Let's not.
We did talk about this last time. No, we didn't end up doing it.
I'm so glad now, because that would have ruined my career. That would have ended me.
What, because of something you would have said to me, and then like people would have found the footage and they're like, look at this guy be mean to Sarah Pop-Tarts, as if like 90% of men aren't mean to me on the internet.
Oh, I'd clip it. No. I'd clip it and do a, you know, video montage of your comments.
He's been waiting to cancel me. No, you would make me cry is what I'm saying. Your roast was that good.
I think men would finally start liking me online if they saw you roasting me. They'd be like, you know what? She does suck quite a bit.
I like what this guy's putting down. What you need to do is, I think you just need to get ahead of your haters, and you need to start a page for your haters. Like, start the Reddit, something. Where, but it's a paid subscription. Like, you have to pay to hate Sarah.
Make it fun. Make it fun.
Yeah, like, you can roast me.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about, like, Grinch Hume has this whole thing where you can't roast him. Like, there's not a bad thing you could say about him because it becomes funny if you don't get the joke. So I don't know if there's a way to, like, spin that either.
Also, here's the merch right here. The A1 Steak Sauce keychain. How much are they? Let's get these in bulk. Let's talk about this after the show.
I was going to say, this looks like a one-time purchase.
Can't buy that in bulk.
But, yeah. Maybe just make people pay to hate. I like that.
Pay to hate. No, of course, everyone, drop a beat for me there, Zach. We all love Sarah Pop-Tarts. And the internet will, too. Where can people find you and follow you and catch up with everything you're doing?
Yeah, so it's Sarah Pop-Tarts on everything, including Threads now. I got one of Threads. But TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. But I don't really use Twitter anymore. Anyway, yeah, Sarah Pop-Tarts.
I feel like Threads just split Twitter in half, and now the two likes that I get, I just get one like on Twitter and one like on Threads. Cool.
I'm definitely more popular on Threads already, so.
That is Jay.
You can find me at Fad McKee, Instagram and Twitter, and Threads.
Zach Rohn.
If you haven't yet, actually, this is probably not going to come out till summer camp, is it? Never mind. Just follow me at Zach_Rohn.
You can check out our, we have an amazing Patreon, patreon.com/heartofbrunch, where we have different guests on every week, and we really just, let it fly. And by it, I mean the N-word. We'll see you next time.
Why'd you look at me?
Bye-bye.
Why'd you look at me?